Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene podcast.
Well, we are the Post Credit Scene podcast, a 14 HQ original, lovers of film, TV, and theatre.
Yes, sir.
Back in the studio today. No Bisola. So, fans of Bisola, we apologise. she's not feeling too well. She's a bit fatigued. So, I'm going to say rest up. I don't know how the rest of these guys feel.
Sam
last time when Bisola weren't feeling too good, I had some words for her.
Yeah, nah, rest up, man. Rest up. Dickhead, you.
Manny, any words for our fallen soldier?
Yeah, rest up, my guy. She was working hard yesterday.
What? Hosting?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very difficult, man. Yeah, it's a crazy craft.
What are we doing right now, bro?
Yeah, but I'm here.
She did a good job. We were at the screening for Golda's short film yesterday. Shout out to Golda Kessie, a young creative filmmaker, actor, model, producer. She's got a short film coming out soon, and we already have done an episode with her. She's a very talented individual. I'll just call her an artist, Manny, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
She's just an artist as a whole. Some of her paintings are incredible. But yeah, we had an episode with her maybe, I think it came out last week or 2 weeks ago, depending on when this comes out. I would say check it out. Really insightful talks around short films, being creative, diving into sort of our ancestry background and what it is to be a Black Brit, and that sort of dichotomy, I guess, between Black, British, African. It's a bit of a weird space to sort of manoeuvre in, especially in Britain today, and the world as it is today, I'd say. But onto our episode today, we've got a very special guest, but before I introduce the guest, I'm going to ask how everyone is first. Manny, how'd you do?
I'm all right, my guy.
Yeah, you know, living. Turpy, sun's out.
Yeah.
Sun's out.
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah,
all of that, bro. Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good, friend.
Good. Producer Kizzes, I forgot to ask how you are. How'd you do?
Oh, thank you, Matt. I'm good, man. I'm good.
That's
I'm good.
Not, thank you.
Yeah, just usual, isn't it? Just another day.
Tired, man. You've been gaming too much.
Yeah, I have been. I've been up till 1 a.m. for the past 4 days, yes.
What is wrong with you, bro?
I hear you.
I'm a kid again.
Life has to live. Life's hard.
Exactly.
Life's hard. Horse, how'd you do?
Yeah, good, man. Good. Feeling good. I'm in my classic movie bag at the moment, so I've been up at till those times, but for different reasons.
Ah, so you have to go at me, but yeah, it's different.
Oh, yeah. Facts. I clock still. But yeah, good, man. Spent time with the family this week. Had two birthdays yesterday, so I was back and forth, man. But it was fun, man. It was cool.
Any updates you want to give before we
We have a pub quiz at the end of the month, our latest event, so please come join us. It's at the Queen of the South? Yes. Mm-hmm. Queen of the South pub, black owned, come on, man. There's a £250 cash prize, so if you're watching this and you want to come through, please do come through. It's £10 ticket. Pick your team. You got five people in your team, and then boom, there you go.
Amazing. Well, let's give our...
Where are you guys?
Yeah.
I'm all right, man. Like, sun's out. Yeah, been busy, but good busy. Can't complain, man.
You don't want to talk about your achievement, reaching 10K on TikTok.
Oh, everybody! Oh my god!
I wasn't gonna bring it up, to be fair.
I know you weren't.
Big things.
Yeah, just cracking on, man. Just doing what I enjoy.
Yeah, love that, man.
So yeah, keeping busy. Over to our special guest, and this has been in the making for quite some time.
Basically,
like a year and a bit.
Yeah, man.
Schedules have to align, life has to align, and it finally has. A big round of applause to Emmanuel.
For Gavi.
Full name.
For Gavi.
I was going further, but I thought, no.
Oh, geez.
thank you for joining us, firstly. Mm. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm really good. Thank you for letting me in your space. Angie, I'm happy to be here, for sure. Definitely. I know I've been trying to make this happen with you guys for a while, so definitely appreciate it.
For sure. And what have you been up to lately? What could you tell us about how life's been treating you and what some endeavours you've been sort of working on recently?
What I can tell you.
What you can, exactly, yeah.
Oh, I've been working on some stuff in film, of course. I'm just lining up some interviews and a couple of things that I'm cooking up and developing some bits and pieces as well, but I'm trying not to get snapped.
Kevin Feige's somewhere. With Trust me, yeah. But how did you get into the sort of entertainment space as a whole? Because I wouldn't just limit you to just film and TV. I'd say you do a broad amount of things. But how did you carve your sort of own lane in this space and sort of become who you are today?
I'm sure. I've always been into entertainment and like content creation, film, TV and everything. I went to the Brit School. And I studied broadcasting, digital communications. I think they changed what it's called now. I think it's called FMP now, film and media production, but but yeah, broadcasting digital comms. Had that moment with my dad, that video that blew up with my dad. Same around the same time I got into Brit School.
For those that don't know, could you maybe give us a bit of a deep dive?
Yeah, sure. Sure. I did a video with my dad where I pranked him, told him I got a girl pregnant when I was like 16. So that's like 11 years ago.
Bro, that's a classic video, man.
Yeah. So it was a while ago.
That's definitely a classic one.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Honestly.
Okay. I knew it was coming. But no, I did that video and it's done a lot. I can't lie, it's done a lot. It definitely changed my life. A lot happened with that video.
Of course.
I was very privileged to have that moment.
How does it feel, bro? That's like in like a lot of like we that was like early YouTube days, yeah?
Yeah.
For I guess like more local people for us. Like it wasn't like these big, you know, Jake Pauls and Logan Pauls, but it was like somebody at home dropping funny videos, and we were like, rah, bro. And like now you're like, it's actually so weird like seeing you here now, because I've seen that same video 1,000 times, bro.
Yes, yeah, it's kind of crazy, just like how the video has kind of like traveled.
Yeah,
because it comes in waves. Like I thought okay, I was like 16 when I first dropped it. I'm 27 now.
Yeah.
So it dropped it when I was 16 in year 11. I just remember the night I dropped it, it went mad on Twitter. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is gonna die down. You know how it is when like people have like, there's so many people that have gone viral before me for different things and everyone just forgets about it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, okay, yeah, this is probably gonna pop for like a year and then everyone's gonna forget about me. And then the memes started to happen.
Yeah.
And then, funnily enough, I've only told this story for the first time the other day, but I'll share it with you guys. So French Montana reached out to me when I was in year 11.
Holy damn.
Well, his team reached out to me when I was in year 11 because he wanted to have it on his album. He wanted to use a snippet of the video for the intro of his
album. Oh, incredible.
But it got delayed a couple of times. But I told like two people, but I wasn't meant to tell anyone because like I'm in year 11 and I'm saying, oh yeah, I'm going to be on French Montana's album. People are going to think I'm talking nonsense.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then I was in college and I just remember, I think it was my second year of college. And I remember I was just sitting down and I was listening to OVO Sound Radio and then just randomly, they just like randomly dropped the album. So I'm listening to all the songs and I'm not thinking it's anything to do with me because I didn't even know the name of certain things or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just hear, Dad, can you come downstairs? I hear my voice. And I was like, and then my Twitter just went mad.
Oh, right, right.
And then they're like, are you listening to OVO Sound? I'm like,
yeah.
What? Like, what? No, I'm bugging myself. Like, I can't believe it. So yeah, all of that happened. And I was just like, yeah, and then that happened. And then again, it just comes in waves. And the Nigerians found it. And
yeah, of course.
They've turned it into what they've turned it into.
Of course.
Yeah.
I guess one of the things that we would all argue that we know you for, especially, is sort of British slang and teaching British slang to Americans or just the people that you're interviewing as a whole.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any specific interviews that spring to mind? I have mine, but I wanted to throw the ball to you guys first.
Nope, for sure.
Yeah, the one might be the same one.
Kiki Palmer.
Kiki Palmer one, yeah.
Danny Kaluuya.
That's
the first one.
Classic.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Love that video. Just seeing, like, Kiki Palmer, like, vibing to Into with you.
Yeah.
Feels like a seminal moment, not just for, like, UK black music, but also for yourself. And the fact that, you know, that video went viral and the appreciation of our culture, which is something we're going to sort of briefly dive into. How was that for you as an experience?
No, it was amazing. I feel like it showed that Kiki was comfortable.
She's a star, man. Mm. He's incredible.
Yeah.
What was the last interview at?
I've met her before. I've met Daniel. Yeah. Sorry, sir.
No, what you done.
So I was lucky enough to meet Kiki before because I interviewed her for Lightyear. It was a bit more of a relaxed one, a bit more like it was a shorter one. Mm. But we already had a nice little chat.
Sick.
She was amazing. I mean, I met Daniel before as well because I interviewed him for Queen and Slim.
Nice.
And
Ugandan brother, come on.
Craziest thing, like, I even say about Daniel, and this is why I was like, wow, like, Daniel literally was like to me. So I went to the party for Queen and Slim, the premiere for Queen and Slim. Daniel's like, there's certain things I can't say, I need to be careful. But Daniel came up to me while another situation was happening and was just like, no, bro, like, I seen your stuff. Like, you're cold.
Nice.
And I was like, right. I'm like, you know, I'm like chatting to you tomorrow. He's like, yeah, man. Like, you know, like I've seen your
I can
stuff,
actually
you know
hear
know
him mean? Like speaking like that as well.
Yeah. So it was like, I was just like, okay. Especially because I'll be real. I'll talk about this, I don't mind. Because I kind of come from the school of like, I trained to do what I do, but I also have like the YouTube background. I've noticed there's a hostility towards people that come from the digital space.
Yeah, okay,
there's a massive hostility towards people that come from the digital space that are in the junket circuit, doing interviews and such.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel a bit of shade, but I don't really care.
Mm.
And it's one of those things where like, just being in the space and being able to do what I do and doing it in the style that I do it.
Yeah.
Like, I really appreciate that. And again, I do it not for vanity or ego. Yeah. I'm literally just trying to put on for us.
Yeah, of course.
That's why I ask the questions I ask, and that's why I try to teach them about our culture, because I want them to know that this is what we got going on over here, and I want them to know that it's not pip-pip cheerio all the time.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Facts. There is a hostility towards digital people, but it's mad because I'm in the middle, because I studied it, but I also had a following.
Yeah.
So it's like just something I've noted.
What do you think that is?
Why do I think it is? I feel like people are scared of change.
Okay.
And people are scared to evolve, but there are times when obviously people that come from the content creation space have been given an opportunity and they've messed it up, man.
Yeah.
Like, they've gone and they're chasing a viral moment as opposed to
journalism.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I feel like it's a whole thing where people are brought in for different reasons. And I feel like people also kind of forget that, like, crazy questions have always been a part of it. Like, if we go back to, this is how people are going to know that I actually studied this shit. Yeah? Like, going back to the day, back in the day when Key from Key and Peele was playing a character where he's like a whole nother level. He's doing the junket circuit.
Yeah,
he was doing it in character and just being dumb.
Yeah,
it was funny.
Yeah.
And that has just evolved into getting content creators to do stuff, whether it's someone like asking them questions dressed up as someone or doing stuff like that. It's like people are brought in for different reasons.
But even now, like you've got like the outside of the junket circle, the press circuit, where you know you go on like Lad Bible and do this and whatever.
Yeah.
And then on like Hot Ones, right? Mm-hmm. They even started doing like animated guests. Like this guest would like Peter Griffin.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Okay, and stuff like that. So, like, everyone kind of serves their purpose. For me, my hit back has always been like, that's cool. Get like one or two man that can do some crazy questions, cool. But then, other than that, if you're like a content creator, or I would prefer them to just have an interest in film and TV.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't go there and just, what you're saying has somebody that is interested, just look, you go, oh, what are you talking about?
I do think. Some people kind of want to be a part of this for proximity. I feel like at the end of the day, it builds an image.
Yep.
And I what was the quote? Because I'm making a jacket at the moment, and there's a quote I'm putting on it. We ain't here for clout. We're here to work.
Mm.
Because a lot of people just want the proximity. And,
hey, what he was saying was so wild, man.
He's dropped the layer, yeah.
But yeah, no, literally, just like, yeah, I feel like there are people that are in the space that don't, this might ruffle some feathers, but I'm just being honest and transparent, you know what I mean? But I feel like, yeah, there are people in the space that don't necessarily care about the art form.
Of course, yeah.
And this is one of the reasons why I wanted to come on your pod, because I love the fact that you guys care about this. Like, how many pods can I go on where everyone's talking about body count? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, my. Thank you.
He didn't know that segment four.
That is incredible.
And I appreciate you guys welcoming me into your space, for sure.
Yeah. 100%. And that was
a clip. That is a clip. Okay.
And that was actually like a segment that we had. We basically had a live show quite recently. It's our second one, and one of the conversations that we had that wasn't recorded that I thought would be good for us to bring today is just the involvement of the digital space, film and TV, and how sort of the media circuit has shifted. And I think we've seen it in sports,
with
the likes of
AFTV and stuff.
That side of things, of course. And then you have the likes of even the players making their own podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rio Ferdinand, Paul
George. It's evolved and changed.
Jalen Bronson, come on, man. Has respect.
Oh, you're a Knicks fan, innit?
You've been seeing Ola currently like doing his podcast run. Ola from
Long Forest.
Ola, his Snapchat is incredible. He's a king, bro.
It's not a podcast about him just having more personality.
Yeah, he's using his social media.
Yeah, in a way that I don't think I've seen any like active footballers do before.
There was a point where Alphonso Davies was doing something like that as well.
He was.
Remember when Twitch first started popping, and then like he got on it as well.
He was streaming,
Yeah.
To be fair, in Germany, funny enough, like they're a lot more relaxed. Like I see, like German teams doing a lot more social media stuff.
It's facts.
It's facts.
I think that's changed in the UK though. I think you're seeing.
Oh yeah, it's definitely UK more clubs
sort of catching on to the.
Yeah, but more like the a majority, like I said, like the black players.
I'm specifically talking about the clubs and their actual channels. They've actually shifted their approaches to that sort of the digital space.
Oh, absolutely.
Capitalizing on how things have changed because consumers have changed.
Absolutely.
And that's the way to sort of catch audiences today. And obviously, like for us as a podcast, I guess we come from a digital space and we are content creators in of ourselves. But we have also as we said, a keen interest in this. Whereas before, maybe let's say 10, 15 years ago, you're talking about the broadsheets and the tabloids having access to these axes and so on and so forth. So when we had our first junket, I'd say it was like a seminal moment for us because we could never imagine people like ourselves.
Mm. We were screaming, bro. I'm pretty sure you were
Black Panther.
Yeah, I was there, bro. Yeah. Black Panther. That was a crazy question.
And it was a long-winded way to get there. Is what do you make of the evolvement through TikTok, YouTube personalities? And I know you said before that, you know, you're happy to see that shift.
Yeah.
But what have you made of that sort of evolvement, I guess, in recent years?
I love it.
Yeah.
I feel like if this didn't happen, it could have potentially only, like, I'm not even trying to say, hey, I was the guy. But like, literally, I've been doing this since I was like 17 years old.
Yeah.
I've been on the junket circuit since 17, so like going on 10 years.
Crazy.
And it was like for a while.
What's the first one?
Dave Franco. So I started it as a series where it was one of my friends. So I made a friend with a guy from Germany, and it's crazy. It was a white guy with dreads called Simon Unger. He's like Germany.
Damn.
Like met him at a party, and I feel like you know specifically how I feel when people are being like hostile towards someone,
but they're
not a part of the cool kids or whatever.
Yeah.
So I just went up to him. I'm like, "Are you right, bro?" And he's like, "Yeah, man, I'm good, yeah." Like, and then like we caught a vibe, and I'm like, "You know what? You're waving." He's like, "You want to come and get Ziboba?" I'm like, "What's Ziboba?" You know what I mean? And then we went down the road because this was when YouTube was at Google. Google was in Tottenham Court Road.
Yeah, okay.
When they were in that building, and there was like a Chinatown boba tea. It's like, let's get Ziboba, man. Yeah, like so we had boba tea, and like we did a collab, man, and it was just so authentic. And I got a massive German audience from because he had like a million followers, and I didn't even know. I was just like, no, he's actually good vibes. But this was during the time.
Nice.
It was such a different era. It was when I don't want to say particular names, but this was like the 014. Did you guys ever hear of something called Summer in the City?
No.
Back in the day. Okay, so that's another side of YouTube when, okay, you know what, I'll talk, because these lot didn't do anything, but it's just that era, like Zoella, Pointless Blog.
Oh, yeah.
That era of time.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, it was a very different time, and yeah, like, literally.
That's when, like, everyone, like, started making, like, content houses and
literally.
And stuff like that, yeah,
like, cool. Very early days, but we did a video, and it went very well, and then, literally, I was in sit form, so I was studying at Brit, and I had a rep at the time, and he's like, I'm Lionsgate. Shout out Rachel Masuku, by the way. Rachel, I don't know where you are, but got love for you, still love you, because she gave me my first opportunity. But yeah, shouted my agent and was like, we want E-Man to make something with DeFranco. It was for a film called Nerve.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Have you seen it? Casey Neistat had a cameo in it back
so.
In the day. And it's like, I can't remember the exact story because it's been a while since I've watched it. But it was like, I think like it's a live stream type situation. Mm-hmm. And like you're being told dares to do, and then you get points or something like that. It's like kind of dystopian.
Raw.
Sharp and Dance in Black Mirror.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah.
Damn.
But like, yeah, Dave Franco was the first. Sorry, I went on a tangent, but.
No, good.
Yeah, Dave Franco was the first. And then from there, like, I just started getting hit up by a bunch of people to turn the slang thing into a series. So.
Amazing. Yeah. It's so interesting, don't you think, guys, that like the way. For example, how people will catch on to like a new show now has completely shifted as well. Like, and I think The Bear for me is a great example of that because I don't know if you watched The Bear.
Yeah, so I was trying to get into it, but then I got distracted. But I did enjoy what I saw though.
Like, it was one of those shows that blew up on not just because of TikTok, but I'd say a large reason why that series became so popular in its first season was TikTok, because back then I don't think FX knew what they had.
Yeah,
and that's with a lot of production companies and studios, you might not know the gem you have until it's out there with the audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when it caught on, I think you've seen the shift in season one to season two is very obvious in terms of like quality. And that's because it blew up on social
media. Well, isn't that the same thing with like industry, right? It was like it took people,
I'd say somewhat,
like
yeah,
a sure. couple seasons to be like, oh, wait a minute. Like, and because it was way more public. You know what I mean? And then obviously Severance as well. That took like, but that's mainly because there was a huge gap, you know, between season one and two
gap was massive, so it gave people a lot of time to catch onto the wave. And then the season
flat,
everyone's like Severance up, like everyone wants to get severed.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, but it's a tough space right now, man. Do you know, like, but I do enjoy the recommendations. But I am currently finding myself, and this is like no offense to anybody, but I'm still talking about like everybody. I'm finding like I only like certain people doing reviews of certain things, and I only like tonal, like if you are reviewing something and there's no substance to what you're saying, I will just flick. Oh. Right, because they think that saying that it's bad or saying that it's good and then calling like an actor bad or good, okay, is like good enough. I don't think that's good enough. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, tell me why I should watch this or why I should stay clear. I'm still gonna watch it, but give me like your thingy. So like I've now got like three, four people that I'm like, all right, cool. Like if they tell me go see this, then I'm probably gonna watch it.
Okay, fair.
So or. On the other side, if someone's doing like a junket, and their vibes in with that actor, I'll go watch it just because the energy was good.
Mm-hmm. Someone asked, like, I was just really surprised because for years a lot of people just knew me for the prank and like just wouldn't release me from the prank.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah,
they
yeah.
still won't release me from the prank. Like, as in, and even I just posted it, like I literally posted it on my Instagram for the first time ever because I've never posted the full snippet on my Instagram.
Mm.
And I just said, thank you everyone because you've actually changed my life. It's got 11 million views. Like,
holy damn.
Like, but anyways, I was going on a tangent, but my main point is that, yeah, literally someone literally was like, you know, I went to watch Nope because of you. And I'm like, what?
Like, yeah,
I saw the video and I was like,
but that's the point of the work.
The press tour, I guess.
That's
yeah.
the point of the work that
yeah.
you do, we do, I guess, is to shift audiences to get to watching a film or watching a show. I guess more so getting people to watch films because that's a tougher task, which is one of the segments for later. Manny, just a quick one, just yes, following up from Hussey's point. What do you make of the space in terms of, you know, digital era, people can make reviews from their homes and, you know, it's made a new sort of arena for creators and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
which is you included in that. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it just makes it easier for individuals to be able to have a platform and be able to say how they feel about film, TV, or art in general.
What do you look for when you're liking or disliking? Disliking might sound.
Honestly, it depends on the type of media that's being discussed, and also depends on my mood. Because sometimes I don't mind just watching somebody. Just tell me what's coming out in the next few weeks or months, just so I have an idea of what I can actually look out for. Sometimes I do like a deep dive in terms of...
No, you love a deep dive.
I love a deep dive.
But do you like a deep dive when you haven't watched it? Like, I'm a guy where I like a deep dive after I've watched it.
I don't typically watch videos. Like, I can't lie. Guys post, like, every day. I only watch videos of shows that I've watched. I just like him and move on. Because if I haven't watched it, it's like I don't want to
be spoiled.
Yeah.
Same.
I don't like hearing people's opinions too tough.
Form your own.
Yeah. I want to form my own.
I'll only watch people tell me what to watch if it's something that I really don't want to watch, and then I'll be like, all right, cool. Well, this person has said it's sick. Now, like my watch meter has gone up.
Yeah, I'm the exact same.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? But if it's something that I know that I'm going to watch, I will watch it first and then do a deep dive after. Okay. Like Looper and Watch Mojo and all the classical ones. And then TikTok with like, you know, the Gazzes and everyone else, you know what I'm saying? But yeah.
But to answer your question, I think I like the fact that it's more in the hands of individuals, and essentially you have a platform that you can really make it your own. We don't have to rely on big media in terms to get our recommendations, to get analysis, to get our understandings of film and TV.
Yeah.
There's more power being shifted towards individuals. And I definitely prefer that. I definitely do think it's also important for big media to have to have contribution to the space because and of the experience
with that journalistic background.
With their credentials, their experience, their resources, their production. That's also an important part of things. But I do like the fact that there is more of a balance. And I hope that does continue because also it gives a pathway for people that do start off on TikTok to eventually have a pathway into being part of big media in whatever shape or form they want to be in. But there's so much content, there's so much art out there that you can consume in so many different ways. So I just appreciate the fact that there are different ways that I can consume people discussing content.
Sure. Sick, man. And I think there's a space, to some degree, doesn't fully apply, but there's a space for everything to some degree, especially in terms of more so media. There's a space for different types of media, different types of films, different types of shows. Quick one for you. One of the tasks that we do for all of our guests, Mount Rushmore of TV shows. So we need your Mount Rushmore, your top four TV shows of all time.
Okay.
This is something that we do with all the guests.
For sure. I know. I watched the show.
This is a tough one.
Atlanta, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I know Bissola didn't like that one, but cool.
So anything Childish Gambino?
I'm thinking. Atlanta, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I am a fan of Childish Gambino for sure. What else? What else has really moved me?
You know, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
I could never get into Game of Thrones. I tried my hardest. I preferred House of the Dragon over the original Game of Thrones.
Ah man, what the fuck?
What do you think was the issue with Game of Thrones for you?
I feel like a period piece needs to be really good for me to get into it. Okay. Like something set during that era of time, I have to really, really be invested, or I'm gonna just switch off.
To be fair, Game of Thrones is like a slow build. It is slow, bro. If you're not prepared to really like commit,
and then I was like, I'm done.
That's a shame. But okay,
I tried. I can try again, but I tried.
The good thing is, there's always time to go back to it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yes. Please.
If you had hit me with movies, I would have been able to give you movies like that.
We'll switch over for you. For this specific one, you can do movies.
Okay, Superbad. Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Superbad's amazing, man.
Superbad, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Chronicle.
Oh really?
Yeah, that's.
I love that film.
And they've been saying Chronicle 2 for how many years?
The concept of the film like spun me so much.
It's great.
It's great. But yeah, sorry, go on.
One more, yeah?
Yeah.
Film-wise, you know what? It actually jumped to the very front of my list. I can't remember the name of it, but it came out this year. It's got Robbie Williams as a monkey.
Better Man.
You know, in UK culture, there are like white people that have just always been famous and you don't know why they're famous.
Yeah.
And like Take That and all of that stuff. Like, I didn't know about Take That. I know they have a couple songs that are like, it's staple. That's the year six disco type stuff. But like, I didn't know his backstory.
Yeah.
And creatively, the way they did that movie was amazing, but I just feel like the marketing sucked.
It sucked. Also, they dropped it on Boxing Day, which I don't think helped his case because obviously he was like on tour and then just finished and then, you know, came back, done like two prems and then dipped again. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think there was any run, bro. Like, I didn't see him do any like
press
or nothing because he was on tour, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, he didn't do anything, bro. So like, yeah. But like, I saw it physically everywhere. Like, I saw posters everywhere, bro. Yeah. Buses, all that. I saw it everywhere. But I didn't see no media, like nothing around it.
But yeah, I love a biopic as well. So even straight out of Compton. So I love a biopic. So yeah, that was me. And then I was just chucking Like Mike because that was the first film I literally
what a throwback.
Going into the cinema, RIP to Odie and Syracuse, but literally going into the cinema, Syracuse with my family and watching Like Mike, and I've always remembered that film. That's just like a core memory.
You and Biss have the same cinema.
Odeon Syracuse?
Yeah.
It's gone now.
Yeah, that's my local, but I know I sound like a traitor. I go to
Greenwich. Brother, what's that?
I don't even do Odeon, I'm a Cineworld.
Oh no, yeah, okay, that's even worse.
Yeah.
I'm an Odeon Luxor right now.
Odeon Luxor, okay. Yeah, and that shows a bad boy, but I buy Doritos and I buy the dips.
I hear it.
Sorry, I'm going off.
Recently, oh, yeah. I've actually found a very like American it's chocolate buttons and popcorn.
Oh yeah, that is a thing.
Bro.
But they really love butter out there. I don't know.
They hot butter. Squeeze it on here and hands. That's crazy to me, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? But guys, trust me, yeah. Chocolate buttons and popcorn, salted. You can't get the sweet thing. So it's bare weird. Yeah, get the. Oh my days.
So you melt, you get them to melt it.
Don't even melt it, fam. Just put the just put it in there, brother. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And then your warmth will just melt anyway. But yeah, it's so like
that's my top five, I guess.
Cool, man. Yeah. One of the conversations that we had in our live show was like, and I don't know how you'd feel about this, but it's an open floor as well, was the sort of, what I feel is there's been a shift with audiences and studios as a whole in terms of prioritising TV. And I think it starts dating back to The Sopranos, which released in like 1999, where you get like the what people call prestige TV, like upper echelon TV, where it's like high quality acting, high quality story writing. And I think since then you see The Wires, you see the True Detective, the Game of Thrones. And in today's world now, I feel like in tandem with streaming coming in and playing such a prominent role in people's lives and the accessibility of TV compared to cinema, you've seen audiences and studios to a degree either prioritize or sort of shift their allegiances, I guess is the word as I'm using, to TV. Now, that doesn't mean that TV film doesn't still play a big part in our world, and obviously it naturally does, especially when you have the big blockbusters and so on and so forth. But do you think that's been a thing that you've noticed as well with sort of streaming coming in alongside sort of those shows that I mentioned before?
Yeah, more of it being a thing where they're focusing on television.
Yeah,
yeah, no, 100%. I feel like binge culture plays a major part in it
as
well.
Bish should have been here for this. He's a big binger.
Okay, okay.
Big binger. I'm against binging. Oh, not okay, against, okay. Wrong word. Been not against. I prefer dedicating my time slowly but surely to a show.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's all good. No, yeah, literally. Yeah, I do feel like, yeah, they are definitely prioritising TV shows and binge culture and stuff like that. To be honest, I binged Devil May Cry yesterday. It's so good. I don't know if you're into anime at all, but... Yeah?
I haven't watched Devil May Cry, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, I've heard. Is that season two?
First season, season one. Okay. So I think it's a Netflix original, like Netflix.
Off the game, yeah?
Yeah, the game, from the game.
Yes, from the game, yeah.
I think there's another Devil May Cry anime from years back.
Okay.
But yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah. But yeah, no, definitely, I feel like, yeah, there's definitely a shift in focus on TV shows.
Yeah, Manny Hoss.
I think one of the biggest reasons why there is a shift, yes, it's also the binge culture and us, what Netflix, getting us to that point, but also that it's just more money within TV.
So facts.
They can afford to get the better writers. They can afford to get actors that typically only would have ever done box office or only would ever done films on TV shows. We've never seen like a Denzel Washington on a TV show for a prolonged period. But now we do get like people like
Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro. He's been
Matthew McConaughey.
What was he on?
True Detectives.
Oh, I haven't watched that.
That was the first season.
First season. And the sixth season was Jake.
That's their best season as well.
Yeah, by a mile.
I think even Jake, like
presumed innocent.
If this was like 20 years ago, I don't think he would have been in a TV show.
I agree.
Whatsoever. But yeah, I think it's just the money thing and also just the production side of things. There's a lot, like, it's just bigger better produced.
Well, even like I was saying on our live show, it's like Rings of Power was 12 mil an episode, or like 10 mil an episode. Do you know what I mean? Like that's a lot of bread, bro. Like that's mad. And then we said in season two, okay, that went up by like 10 mil, so it was like 20 mil per episode.
I'm sure they made that back in like merchandising.
No, well, of course. Like
the Lord of the Rings fan base is crazy.
It's a mad thing, bro. But like 21 episodes, okay, that's for I think it's 10 episodes, bro. That's a mad thing. That's so much peas.
But that's the budget for like. But that's the budget for a film.
For a good film.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, sorry, for a high budgeted film. Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because like, I guess what the average budget for like a film now is like what, 40, 50 mil? Do you know what I mean? The average budget. But like, if we're going like a blockbuster, we're talking 100 to like 300 mil easily, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
It says episodes, right? It's saying here that it's $58 million to produce an episode.
Of what?
Of The Rings of Power.
Oh my god.
$58.
Bro. Jeff Bezos here said, yeah, run it, my brother.
Yeah,
he said run it all, fam.
He even pulled up to the premiere, did he?
Bro, he said that the only reason why he bought the rights to it, okay, is because he's a fan. So the fact that he said he just greenlit it makes so much sense to me. And if you watch season one, yeah, it's not particularly fantastic, right? But it looks incredible. Like they paid for the highest CGI they could think of, bro. Okay, like some of that artwork, so it was just beautiful, bro. Season 2 was way better. It was fantastic. But yeah, like I just think that it's shifting. But I think what is always going to be TV's kind of failure, not failure, but like their downfall, is that a lot of shows like Stranger Things, what's the one with Zendaya?
Euphoria.
Yeah. A lot of these actors will do like 2, 3, 4 amazing seasons, right? And then shift over into film and never come back to TV. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, because they're like global stars now, right? So then, like,
Zendaya doesn't count for that.
Huh? Yeah,
Zendaya doesn't count for that one. She's coming back for Euphoria.
Yeah, but that's because she owns.
Contracted.
Yeah, isn't she like?
She's the lead.
She's a producer.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So she doesn't hold like equity.
Not that. Maybe
possibly. I wouldn't be surprised.
I thought she did. I thought she like held some of the IP.
Maybe I don't know.
Okay, but yeah.
I do agree with you. Sydney Sweeney's an example. Even though she's coming back though, isn't she?
I think
she's coming back as well. For
I think everyone other than, unfortunately, the actor that played, what's his name?
Oh, Fez.
Tez, yeah, unfortunately, I think like everyone else is coming back.
There's a few cast members that aren't.
Yeah, quite a few aren't.
For different reasons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Quite and then
issues with Sam Levinson, so that's why.
And then, oh really? Okay, but yeah. So, and then Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
She's come back for one last season, right?
Well, that's what she thinks. Last season. Yeah, it's the last season. For the end.
Yeah, but then after that, she's done, fam.
I don't think so.
She can go back to TV, bro.
I think again, we're at a point now where there's a lot more money in TV. So people like,
but I don't think they can afford, like in TV. Okay, so, I mean, you get paid per ep, right?
And I think they don't make a limited season with them come back. Like for example, like Idris Elba.
Yeah,
he's done TV when he done films.
And I think that's so different though, man.
Why is
I
it
think
different?
He's a lot older. I think like his stardom. Okay,
yeah, they're the same heights.
Huh?
I don't think it's the same heights as what these lot are hitting.
Facts. Like he's not in like the Gen Z. These superstars, okay, that have like 40 more followers now, you know what I'm saying? In like seconds, bro. It's different.
That you're talking about?
I'm talking about like the Millie Bobby Brown. Yes.
What's the name of the girl that was on that show, To All the Boys I've Ever Loved? Like all of the teenage.
All them, man, now.
Would you say Tom Holland?
Yes.
Tom Holland recently done a TV show.
Yeah, but I'm not saying it's never going to happen, yeah. But I'm saying like a majority of the time, they're not going to come back.
I think that might have been. Effect 20 years ago.
Yeah,
I think these stars are more likely to come back to your TV show.
So you think that they're more artistic in that sense, or are you saying that it's more of a financial thing?
It's just more money. There's more money in TV shows.
The medium's like, changed.
I just don't think, bro.
I can imagine Apple, Netflix in 5, 7 years time saying, "We want a big hit TV show. Zendaya, we're gonna pay you this amount of money, limited series." She's there.
But like, do you count limited series though?
It's still a TV show.
That's
yes.
not. That's not.
Still a TV
you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to blur the line.
That's not TV,
that's
bro.
That's a TV show, bro.
I don't think so, man.
What do you mean you don't think there's a fact? It's a TV show.
It's
what are we doing here? What are we doing here, bro?
It has to be.
He's
like,
changing the rules.
One for me.
Better is not
a TV show. What do you call it?
It's a limited series.
It's on a TV show, bro.
It's a TV limited. Show. It's no, a no. limited series. It's a long film, bro.
I kind of get.
Thank you, my brother.
I kind of understand where Hitch is coming from because, like, a limited series, you know, it's a one and done.
That's yeah, sure, you get me? But it's still a TV show.
Top Boy was a limited series that turned into a TV show.
No, it was always a TV show, bro.
What? It was 4 episodes, bro. What are you talking about?
What was it on?
Channel 4.
Channel 4.
What's Channel 4?
What do you mean?
What's Channel 4?
It's a broadcast channel. No, it's not. They have.
It was on, bro. It was on Channel 4.
They have films there, no?
It was on channel. It's a TV channel, bro.
They show films there, no?
I said it's a TV channel.
So?
The top was a show.
Yeah.
It is a TV show.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean what we're talking about?
What I would say.
That's so dumb, you know.
How's
that's
that
like,
dumb, bro.
Bro. That's like saying, okay. That's like saying, Channel 4 has Channel 4 News, okay. It's a news channel. It's a news channel. It's a news channel.
I said Channel 4.
Yeah, just because they show TV, it doesn't make it a TV channel. It's just a channel.
On TV?
Yeah, on TV, but like, those are different reasons. Bro, those are, they're different meanings, bro. You know what I'm saying, okay?
It's fine, Top is not
no, I said it was, it wasn't. Yo, producer, shut up for me, okay? Top Boy was a limited series that converted into a TV show.
Back to the point, though. I do think you could get Sydney Sweeney to come back to do a series. I think you could get Zendaya to do, if the money's there. And if, more important, I think for someone like Zendaya especially, if it meets her artistic vision, Yeah. I think she's someone who takes the craft quite seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Challengers, having seen her in Euphoria, especially. That's when my sort of opinion. And
even with Malcolm and Marie.
That was a decent film. When I saw her in Euphoria, I saw what I felt was a shift in my opinion on her.
Yeah.
From Disney star to actress.
Yeah.
And I
think if the writing of that particular series is of a level where she deems it of a certain standard, I think she'd come back to do TV show. And I think Sydney Sweeney, if the money's right, potentially she seems to be willing to take on different sort of roles as well.
Yeah.
Credit the boxing film, I think she's got coming out either later this year or maybe early next year. I think they would do it as well. I think there's that shift. And we're even seeing the crossover of TV shows and films where you've got the Penguin and you've got the Batman.
Carol
coming to do a Penguin series. You've got Dune, and you've got Dune Prophecy. You've got Lord of the Rings and you've got Rings of Power. The lines are blurring and sort of crossing over into one another. There might be one or two who won't come back.
Do you know, that's actually super interesting, Kay. Do you know, TV shows have to thank films in that transition, okay? Because TV shows that are based off films do way better than TV shows that turn into films.
Repeat that, sorry?
TV shows that are based off films do way better than TV shows and then go into a film.
Right, okay.
Does that make sense?
What example could you give for the second one? Because I can't think.
Entourage. Okay. Horrible film.
The film was one of the worst ones I've seen. I'm a huge Entourage fan. I was so disappointed when that film came
out. Horror film. Sex and the City.
I didn't really watch that.
Horrible films.
I haven't seen that film.
And they made Freedom.
By the way, Top Boy was never a limited series. So yeah.
Okay, I'll take that back then.
He said that with a smile on his face.
What films were made into a TV show that did really well?
No, they're based on them. So obviously, like you said, Batman into Penguin.
One thing I'll say, I think what the difference is between TV shows turning into films is that I agree with that, is that they take the essence of the TV show and still trying to make it into the same thing and try to wrap it into a film.
Yeah.
For example, Sex and the City is still about the same, four women just in a film. I think they were talking about doing a Friends film at some point.
Yeah, they were,
It's going to be about the six of them. But with something like The Penguin, it's not the Batman into a TV show. Is a character from the Batman, and they made it into a TV show.
Yeah, but I'm saying that transition is always easier because there's way more scope. Yeah, there's so much more scope.
But what I will say as well, although the lines are blurring, there's different skill sets needed to make a great film and a great TV show. And I think we saw some of that with some of the Marvel TV shows where they're essentially, in my vision, a movie split into six parts. Some of those TV shows where you don't get a natural...
It's not a TV show.
Yeah.
Because one was just one season.
That's not what I said. No, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not what I said. Okay, for me, it needs a season to be classified as a TV show.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying WandaVision is not.
It is a TV show. It's got a season.
So Limit Series is not one season?
No, I don't think it's a season. I think season one tells me that there's more, 2, 3, 4, safe. Okay, a Limit Series, okay, means it's limited. It's 3, 4 eps done, limited. It's not a season.
Shogun, a TV show.
Yeah, it's season one, though.
It was a limited series.
No, it wasn't.
They're making a season two.
They changed their plans. It wasn't.
Okay, change their plans. Cool.
No, but so when it first came out, it wasn't a TV show?
Well, no, it would have been a limited series.
Okay. Good.
Tracks.
Yeah. What I want to do is kind of move the topic on, though, and just talk about the next couple of months for film.
Before you do, can I say one more thing?
Of course you can, sir.
I completely forgot, and this is mad because this is one of the things that made me fall in love with television. My Mount Rushmore, if we're going back to TV shows.
I'll do it.
Doublet Drama.
Oh, yeah. The interactive.
And people are like, how does he know about Doublet Drama? He's only 27. I've got a big sister. And I met the writer of that. He was actually working at YouTube for a period of time.
Oh, sick.
I think he still heads up. He was heading up their originals for a bit. Damn. And I don't know what he does now. Shout out Luke Hyams, man. But Doublet Drama.
Yeah.
That was probably, for everyone,
game
changing. Texting to decide how the episode ends and where we go next week. Sorry, I just had to say that.
Ooh. That was Black Mirror, right? The thingy episode.
Bandersnatch.
That's the one.
Bandersnatch. Yeah. It was Bandersnatch before Bandersnatch.
Yeah.
Black Mirror is back this month.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
4 days.
Oh, crap.
Have you been seeing the marketing for it?
Nah.
On TikTok, they've got people doing this Nubian thing where they're on the train and obviously they're just jumping on trains doing it. Their eyes are like cleared. They've got these like electronic things on them. It's one of the episodes and people are just recording these people like, what the hell's going on?
Is that
on?
The Christine Milioti episode?
I think so.
I think it is, yeah.
So yeah, they've got these things on the side of their head and they're just on the tube and it's starting to spread now. And I'm like, nah, Netflix have done their big one.
That's terrifying. If I was on the tube and I fucking swear to you,
I'm getting off. I'm getting off. Yeah, if I stop, I'm getting off.
Niggas, man.
I'll go up to them and ask them, can you
make Black? No, they are.
Can you make Black Mirror British again? I would, that's legit, Martin. Yeah. Would you say that for the audience?
Yeah, so that they... make Black Mirror British.
And why do you feel that quickly?
Because they started to, not stink, but I just don't, like, I miss the grittiness and watching Black Mirror with characters that, actors that I don't really know, that are not that well known.
Facts.
It allows me to be more immersed in that world that they're in.
That again, man.
Bro, never are, man. But the other book, I just need to write something else, man. Like, do another show or film, man. Because I love his writing and his wife as well. Like, do something else together.
He loves the wife, time, man. It was crazy.
can I ask what your favourite episode of Black Mirror is?
White Christmas is my favourite episode.
Nice.
But I was having a conversation with my boy yesterday, funny enough. I love Metalhead, and I know a lot of people don't.
Is that the dog episode?
Oh, right.
That's the black and white one.
Yeah.
I think that is such a brilliant episode. And I think the one thing that would have made it better was if there was no dialogue whatsoever in that episode. I know there's very little dialogue, but if they had no dialogue in that episode, and then when I found out that Devin's original plan was to have...
You mean Charlie.
Charlie, what did I call him?
You said Devin Booker. He's a ball, he's a hooper.
Yeah, Charlie, thank you. Yeah, Charlie.
You keep going.
What his original plan was? Do you remember the Metalhead episode?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, it's the way that he said it just doesn't sound convincing.
I've watched all of them.
But yeah,
I've watched all of them.
Charlie's original plan was that all the robots were actually meant to be controlled by a man, like some random man, and he's giving his daughter a bath, and then he goes back into the room, like controlling dogs. The showcase is just how evil this random human being was. I thought that was a sick idea. I wish they kept it. But I wish that whole episode had no dialogue. But it's actually one of my favourite episodes. I think when I done a ranking, it was like my number 5. And Metalhead is one of my favourite episodes. But White Christmas is my favourite.
I think...
Me? 50 Million Merits, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Which was that one?
I'm the one, Daniel's
Danny
one.
Yeah.
Because it's like, again, and then the story behind his acting journey as well, he was ready to give up. And like... just his performance in that is crazy. And like, I think he was like 21 in that, 22 when he done that one. And like, I was like, wow, who is this brother? Like, because obviously I'd seen Skins, but it's a complete transformation. Like, Posh Kenneth and this brother are two different. I'm like, and then I was like, wait, this is the brother from the, back in the day, he was doing like parodies on YouTube and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, no, like, this is the same brother. Like, and like, no, I fell in love with Black Mirror from then as well. And then there's one more episode, so it's kind of neck and neck. I can't remember the name of the actress, but I think she killed her daughter and they're making her relive it over and over again. It's kind of messed up.
You're talking about White Bear.
White Bear.
It wasn't a daughter. They kidnapped her and a partner, kidnapped one random girl.
Yeah.
And then they ended up killing her. Yeah. I think that was my number 3.
Yeah.
With my ranking,
I think the one with Letitia Wright.
Oh, Black Museum.
Black Museum, yeah.
I love Black Museum so much, man. I just love. Also, it's because I love, like, flashback culture. Like, I love when it just goes back and then it's really cool. If it's you know, done well. And then the one with the boy where he was getting blackmailed, like, Shut Up Dance was...
Dark.
Yeah. I fucked with it, okay, because I was, like, at the time, obviously, this was years ago, but, like, at the time, I was, like... who would write stuff like this? Do you know what I mean?
Did you guys clock what it was before?
No.
Complete science.
No. I think that's why I loved it.
Yeah, and I think when I rewatch it, obviously that scene.
Sort of science.
Yeah, and that scene in the restaurant when he hands the little girl, I think like a toy, it just makes the whole scene different. It makes it more disgusting.
Bro. When you think, it's, do you know, yeah, okay, like the ending is so wild, yeah, that when you like rewatch it now, it's harder to rewatch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because obviously, like, you know what's going on, so you're just like, rah, man, like, and
it was kids, Kenny. It was kids. Spun me.
That's the only episode of Black Mirror I've ever seen and I never watched anymore.
What?
I know. I watched that one like, yo, I ain't watching this. I was like, yo, I finished that. I was like, yeah, this ain't for me.
White Christmas is a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece of
TV. I like your entire history of you as well.
Entire history, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was number 4. I remember my ranking, yeah.
But honestly, fantastic series.
Did you guys care for Sanjay Napero? Did you care for
it?
I think it's a really good episode. That being the only episode to win an Emmy, it's
kind of crazy, yeah.
But it's a good episode. It's just not great.
Yeah. Guys, we got a load of films coming out in the next couple of months, which I'm really excited for. Mm-hmm. Firstly, you just wanted to know what you're looking forward to that's coming out in the next couple of months. Heading into like blockbuster summer.
Okay. I mean, Sinners. I've heard a lot of good things about Sinners. Yeah, they had the
social media reactions come out the other day.
They're going crazy.
Ryan Coogler's getting flowers, and I'm really happy for that, man.
Bro, yeah. And I even said it to you the other day, is that I went to look at his filmography. It's like, you've done so much.
Bro, he's done some crazy stuff.
He's only 38. He's gonna be an all-timer.
100%.
Yeah, I think he's already there, to be fair.
He's one of our greats.
His catalogue is crazy. And
he's snuck into my top five directors.
I love the premise of the film as well. And, you know, with sort of blending like drama with supernatural horror element.
I love that, man.
And apparently music as well is a major part in it.
I just mad. Michael B. Jordan seems to be getting a lot of flowers. And I think there's like a mixed feelings with Michael B. Jordan in terms of like audiences.
He can do it, you know.
Some people are like, yeah, he's a good actor, but he's just more looks. But I think he's starting to win people over with his acting and obviously his directing. I think it was a year and a half ago with Creed 3.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's starting to win people
over with his
artistic side of him as well, as obviously he's a very handsome fella, but I think he's starting to win people over.
Well, Joey Zoya, he's like an every other film guy. It's just like he'll do something and it hasn't got like much substance, but he's still good in it, right? But it's just cool. Everyone, like, he'll do like, you know, the next thing, and then you go, rah, man, he smashed that. The next thing is like, oh, you know, he was okay. Like, I don't think he's had like an elite run where like every single time he's been like, rah, man, that is a Denzel-ish or worthy. You know,
that's a bit too high.
One second. You're gonna.
No one's doing that.
You're gonna fucking hate me for saying this, but do you remember like Will Smith's run, right, when he was doing like, you know,
I Am Legend,
Men in Black, £7, blah blah. Like, he was doing a bunch of roles, okay, Independence Day, that was like, yeah, it was so diverse, okay, but he was performing. Yeah.
But I don't think Michael's been in, I don't think he's been that present.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, like, is he not picking or not being chosen for certain roles that, you know, because look, bro, like Coogler now, he's worked with him, what, four times now? Do you know what I mean?
I think five. Fruitville, because, Black Panther 2 as well.
And then he produced Creed 3.
Yeah,
and yeah, so it's like four films,
bro. Like, someone else has to hire that man.
Do you have a good working relationship? One thing I say about Michael B. Jordan, I think he's a very good actor. I think it's only one film that he's been in that I just think he performed well.
Oh, Black Panther.
Yeah, Black Panther.
I thought he was fantastic.
I liked Killmonger.
I love Killmonger, bro. He's a hater, bro.
Because especially like they're touching on the African American experience,
facts,
your heritage and. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, sure, but the performance wasn't for me.
I love Killmonger.
It's not the character of Killmonger that I necessarily have an issue with. I just don't think Michael B's performance is that strong. But apart from that, I think he's a very good actor. And I think because he's done so many Creed films, and I can imagine that being so very physically exhausting and role to play, I'm not shocked that he hasn't done that much or done on the Will Smith run that you mentioned. But I think he will get to that.
He's at 38 now, bro. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, and how old was Will Smith when he was doing all those roles?
Like, from 19 to like 35, bro. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he was the Fresh
Prince. He
was on Fresh Prince. But the run you're talking about,
it was easily a 10-year run.
Sure, but he wasn't. He was in his 30s.
But I'm saying, no, he wasn't. He was in his 20s, bro.
Okay.
100%. Because obviously, a Fresh Prince, okay, like, he'd done that, like, to, like, 23. And then after it was Men in Black, in Independence Day, Hitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, he went on a crazy run, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I actually think it slowed down when he
in his
30s. Yeah, facts. But it's difficult. Though. Like, I would rather watch it. And this is me. I love Michael B. But I'd rather watch John David. Than him in a film. And the reason why I compare them is because I feel like they have some similarities.
I think there's a good comparison, to be fair. I'm not sure if I agree. I think I prefer the films that John David has done.
Interesting, okay.
Is he a better actor than Michael B. Jordan?
I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that he is. I'm just saying at the moment, if I'm going for like a dramatic role or like I think I'd rather watch John David at the moment, but hopefully Sinners is a banger.
I'm gassed for Sinners. The reactions are crazy, so I'm really looking forward to that. It's got a good cast as well, and it's good to see my G Wumi Mosaku in that as well.
Yeah.
She's like flying the flag for Black Britain. She's so talented. She was in Loki. She was in Borders. Like, she's doing everything. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Film, TV, crossing over. And she wanted to be, I think Josh told us that she wanted to be in Borders. Like, so that's really cool.
And then Hayley
Steinfeld.
Kids got shot. Kids shot.
I was going to say good milk.
I was going to say that. Have you seen on her Twitter? They've been saying that Shamik's going through it. Yeah.
Shamik, you know, but do you know, like seeing their like chemistry on the junket run, like, okay, I'm like, bro, like these men are like, it's so nice to see, bro, it's so nice to see. And it makes it, again, it makes you want to watch the film, man. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I'm
so super excited. Black Origin is really cool to me as well. Like, it just makes me want to go out and see it as well. And I think a lot of the black community will want to step out to see the film, so it should be good.
Short on IMAX as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to The Accountant 2. From what I'm hearing, though,
oh yeah, that looks
the
good.
The film has a like slight shift in tone. Mm. It's a bit more comedic, but I don't mind that.
Okay, I'm not happy now.
Yeah, apparently there's a shift in tone. I'm not going to say too much more about it. But John Bernthal for me.
Yeah. I'm a big,
you mean like the first one,
serious actor.
Bro, he's returned to, have you seen his return?
Of course I have.
Bro, that scene's my favourite. Anyway, I'm not going to go too far into Daredevil. My favourite scene.
Oh, by the way, all caught up.
Yes, sir.
I'm locked in.
Oh, I'm a bit meh.
Bro, do you know what? I'm not meh.
That's a shame.
I'm loving it.
Oh, good.
That's a shame.
I'm loving it.
Have you been watching?
I started and stopped because I want it to all be out, and then I'm gonna binge.
In general,
not in, like, unless it's something that I need to watch, because people, you know how people are on TikTok, and my TikTok is literally film TikTok, and people just can't help themselves.
Yeah.
And if, like,
what, spoiling.
Yeah, so sometimes like Netflix, it drops at 8 a.m. If I've not got a shoot there, I'm not doing something, I'm watching everything I can before.
I'm the same.
Netflix,
yeah, they'll literally go to the end and grab a spoiler scene and then chuck it on TikTok. They haven't even watched the show.
Facts.
Like,
just to get some numbers.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's nasty work. Just on Daredevil, quickly. Apparently, the final two episodes are filmed by Dario Scarlapen, who is the showrunner for The Punisher. So the previous episodes, or a lot of the episodes, were sort of pre-overhaul before they refixed the show and did reshoots and so on and so forth. So I'm actually looking forward to the final two episodes, because it's going to be, should be a bit more in line with what I expect for Daredevil. But yeah, I haven't loved the series, I can't lie.
Yeah, you and me have a very different experience for Daredevil, the original three seasons and stuff, because like, we have different favourite seasons, we have different, like I didn't like the first season, you loved the first season.
Not bad, man.
Yeah, like I actually like the first season more than the other two.
First season's great.
First is the worst one out of
bro, actually, bro.
Let's not make this a Daredevil podcast.
Bro, I just watched all of them now, just, and then went straight into Born Again. So maybe that's why it's changing my thing, okay? Mm. But like, Born Again for at the moment, and you're gonna hate me for saying this, if it carries on the way that it's going, it's the second best season out of the four.
Yeah. So John, let me move on.
I might turn these off. I will turn these off.
I don't want to beef. No, John Bernthal, I think he's a great actor.
Yeah.
Sort of like one of those, not underrated. I hate to use the word underrated because there's so many other words you could use. But I guess, like, you know, you only appreciate him when he comes back and you see him on screen and you're like, oh, you're actually a really good actor.
One thing that I want to say about him, do you not feel like he sort of plays the same character?
There's a film I saw him in maybe like a year and a half ago, and I've forgotten the name, and he's married to a black woman in the film. Completely different role.
Okay.
Like, absolutely nails it to a T. I wanted to review it, and I didn't get a chance to just because of time. I'm going to go home and probably send it over to you to watch.
Yeah.
He doesn't play the stereotypical sort of...
Angry yeah.
Kind of guy.
He's also playing...
But I do like that, though. Like, he's a Mace's bag. I'm like, yeah, I'm watching this.
He's also in Christopher Nolan's Odyssey, right?
Yeah.
And like...
it's going to be crazy.
Sorry if you... Yeah.
I just hope that Sony and Marvel just sort it out. I feel like it might be, it will happen when Doomsday comes out, but I just hope they just sort out all this stuff with like the Spider-Man IP, man.
Fair thoughts.
Daredevil should have been on the strip with Spider-Man. What do you mean, Tom? Oh, no, you're going to get me. What do you mean? What do you mean Peter Parker's crying about Iron Man while Muse is just murking people on the road? Like, you're in Queens.
That's Muse is murking people on the road. That's so funny,
like,
bro.
Like, bro. Like, but you know what?
By the way, yeah, Muse, yeah. What character, though, can you say? But yeah, but like, you're, listen, the Marvel... Huh?
I think they wasted him.
I agree, but I actually think they were on the titular of overusing him. So
I don't think he was used at all.
What?
You see things completely differently, man.
What, man? Fuck you, bro.
But
like you're absolutely right, man. Like, even Vincent D'Onofrio said yesterday or the day before, he was like, oh, like he can't technically appear in any of the MCU films because they don't have the film IP for that character. They've only got the series one. So he was like, oh, there's bare, you know, politics, man. So like, you're absolutely right, man. They gotta sort that shit out, bro.
But you know what, at the end of the day, for the studios, it's all about money. And with the way that MCU had a bit of a shaky way moment over the last couple of years, I genuinely believe in order to top Avengers Endgame and Infinity War, I mean, they've already told us most of the X-Men are coming back when they've done the chair reveal for 5 hours.
Hey, great market.
Yeah, I sat there and I had it in the back while I was doing stuff, so I'm not even gonna pretend. But like, I do feel like they're gonna want to top that. They're gonna want they're probably gonna go for a 10 billion with that. And if you bring back what Professor X, you got
they've already brought him back we already seen Charles before, like on
but that was a variant though. That was a variant.
The variant. Oh, so you mean but hasn't he died like so many times in like all these films?
X2, then he came back in. Wolverine's really underrated, by the way.
Do you guys read the comics?
Yes.
So you know what's coming?
With
Doomsday and Secret Wars?
Yes, I actually want to do a hot episode on this. Mm. But yes.
I have a feeling.
So obviously there's different versions of what can happen, but the main version is obviously, you know, them being you know, put into one.
One world.
Yeah, and then they're stuck there for time, right? And all of them. We're talking about the Guardians. We're talking about everyone, and they're all stuck there, and they live in Doom's rule. You know, he's like the literal king. And then, eventually, when he does get bored and whatever, he takes them to a different planet. Okay, obviously, for Secret Wars, where they all end up battling. Okay, if a battle world, and that's a whole thing. The original plan, okay, was to have Kang, the different variants of him, get the Avengers into battle world in just different ways and different films and different, you know, blah blah blah, and then eventually like all the Kangs would reverse all of the Avengers. Do you know what I mean? That kind of stuff. But yeah,
I have a feeling, and this could be a total reach, and you guys can tell me if it's a reach. There's a reason Spider-Verse is coming out around the time it's coming.
You're moving mad.
I think it's placed there for a
particular reason.
Secret Wars and Doomsday, so that would make sense.
Yeah, because they're already dealing with the multiverse. But I don't want them to Roger Rabbit it, because if they Roger Rabbit it, I'll actually be fuming, because...
I love the way No Way Home ended.
Yeah.
And I think we all agreed we would love to see... We know what it's not likely to be this, but I just wanted Spider-Man to be Spider-Man in New York.
I feel like that's what they're doing with Brand New Day, because even they got the brother who done Shang-Chi to come and direct.
That's
incredible.
And
good job with those fight scenes.
100%. Yeah,
really good film.
And then
really
good film. We all know that Spider-Man was always a hand-to-hand combat type of guy. And even, have you seen the stuff about who they're looking to cast?
No.
Asian actor.
Yeah, so it's looking like they're going towards Mr. Negative. And if they go towards Mr. Negative, that means we're getting Miles. But I feel like they, because, okay, cool. Tom's already said that he wants to, like, when he has a kid, he's done. When he has kids, he's done. Like, him and Zendaya are out. So I feel like, potentially, end of this trilogy, they'll kill him because it happens in the comics, and then they'll bring in Miles.
Wrap it up, Tom. Wrap it up. Wrap it all up.
You said you don't want to see Miles until we're...
Wrap it all up, man. Okay, wrap it all up. Not having that. Not having that.
Manny?
Yes, sir.
Any films that come to mind for you? I think we spoke about Sinners and the Accountants who are ready.
Honestly, no.
Nothing.
I think
Fantastic Four.
I've told you the MCU. I've clocked out the MCU. I haven't watched Brand New Day. I haven't watched pretty much nothing that they've done recently.
What would you like? What would, you know, make you clock back in?
If I hear they're making good films again. That's literally it. I just want to watch. I don't like the fact that I'll go to cinema knowing I'm going to sit here to watch mid. Sit there, watch mid,
Thunderbolts.
By the fact that I've watched Mid.
Thunderbolts looks good.
Yeah, it looks good.
You're gonna give that a go?
No, I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait for Gaz. If Gaz comes back, says,
"How about me?"
No. you give Doctor Strange a 9 out of 10.
Oh, no, I didn't.
is that fact, bro?
Yeah, he did.
That's crazy.
That's not a fact, bro.
When Tom was here.
Who's Tom?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
You give him a 9 out of 10. Like a,
which Doctor Strange?
Number 2, Multiverse.
Multiverse of Madness was horrible, man.
I gave it.
You think it was horrible?
I'd give it a 5.
I like that film.
I want to give it a 4. And I think I've been too kind with MCU films. Like, I've been giving some films like a 5 or 6. But really and truly, I don't think, like, if all the films I've watched, all the good films I've watched, you're like midway through.
What was the last good MCU film for you?
Good? What's been out? Remind me, please.
Shang-Chi?
Deadpool.
Shang-Chi, but I think there's been...
Shang-Chi was 2021.
Deadpool is MCU, just saying. Deadpool Wolverine.
No, Deadpool is mid. Like
Deadpool is mid. It was okay.
You didn't like Deadpool and Wolverine?
I didn't dislike. I thought it was okay.
It was alright.
It was okay.
I thought it was pretty
like
good.
In general, I don't think the MCU really makes bad films. They don't make bad films. They just make okay films. But with the resources and the time and the money you have, is this what you're giving me? Yeah. Like, nah, bro, get out of my face.
Yeah.
Honestly, but I can't remember. Maybe Spider-Man,
Captain America, Spider-Man, The Marvels, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
It's all...
Galaxy,
I actually really loved any of the Guardians, you know.
Really?
You're moving, man.
That's crazy. Wow.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
The first and the third one are incredible.
No, I just never cared for the...
That's interesting.
Just never.
I think they're really good. I think that's a really good series. Mm. Might be the second best
franchise.
Yeah, after Cap.
Yeah, of course. Cap or Dark Knight series?
Cap for me.
Whoa. Yeah, Gaz,
Cap.
Sorry, what? Over the Dark Knight series.
Civil War are two better films than what's in the Batman series. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Dark Knight's great. Dark Knight's the best of them, but then Civil War, Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I agree.
Better than Batman Begins and Dark Knight.
Okay, cool.
I think I'll rank them as Dark Knight,
yeah, but
Soldier,
Captain America, The First Avenger was so bad, though.
Yeah, but I think it's better than Batman Begins.
Do you think it's better than Batman Begins?
I don't care for Batman Begins.
I think Batman Begins is better than Captain America, The First Avenger.
Yeah.
Even selling this for us. Dark Knight series or Captain America?
Yeah. You're gonna hate me because I've been saying I need to do this, especially as
no way.
I don't know where this is going.
I have not seen the Dark Knight.
Wow.
I know you're like what, but yeah, I have not seen the Dark Knight.
Have you seen the Batman?
I've seen the Batman.
But you haven't seen the Dark Knight?
I know. I'm terrible, and I've been trying to get into it. I thoroughly enjoyed the Batman.
Do you know what though? I am a little bit jealous because you're going to experience it for the first time.
Yeah,
I would give anything to do that over again.
I don't think.
I'm sorry, man.
I think watching it then will hit more than watching it now for the first time.
But if you don't know what's happening, like you're about to watch it, like you're taking all that in.
That like Chris Nolan, okay, made them based on like what was happening in that world. Time. Mm. Yeah, in the world in that time, the trade union and obviously the poverty, the recession. He made it based on all of that, like back then, like being there and watching that and feeling like this could happen now.
We're in a recession.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, everything you just named kind of...
We're just living it as adults.
Like. Exactly, yeah. It's gonna hit even way more now.
Like, some of the things that from early or mid, late to 2000 cinemas, they can get away with, like, some of the fight scenes were horrible.
Mm.
Like, some of the editings, like, around that time, it wasn't as bad. It's like watching... You see the original... Have you watched the original Planet of the Apes?
Oh, yeah, of course.
In the 60s.
I think
that is... a great film.
Yeah, but obviously it just looks horrible.
What we're seeing.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I feel like it looks watching horrible. It 60, I'll be like, this is the greatest thing I've ever watched.
Yeah, yeah. Bro, but, the one in the 80s with Mark Wahlberg.
Not in the
80s. I haven't watched that one.
90s.
2000s.
That wasn't 2000s.
Mark Wahlberg was not around the 80s.
That is insane.
He was like 18.
What, 18 in the
Planet of the Apes? He was in Planet of the Apes, bro.
I promise you he's not. He was.
Was this when he was rapping?
Yeah.
Around the time he was rapping?
Yeah.
I'm
bro,
you
Mark
now.
Wahlberg was in Planet of the Apes early doors. Huh?
You might be right.
Yo, check that shit for me, bro.
But yeah,
there's a film that I think you might like.
Okay, what?
Didn't get a chance to see it.
2001. Ooh, I almost there.
In Seizure Land. That's crazy. Warfare. Alex Garland, obviously he did Civil War last year. And apparently, Warfare is really good. Joseph Quinn, Will Poulter,
I've seen the trailer.
Cast looks great. I've seen, like, the trailer looks great. But
I know what you're going to say.
It's just leading to America, but war.
Propaganda. I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. I knew you were going
to
say that.
My heart's not in it. Can't lie to you. My heart is just not in it.
I'll be real, bro. I grew up, okay, like loving war films, okay, but mainly because my dad was in the army. So, like, I just fantasized it, right?
I actually don't care for war films, generally speaking.
No, I generally like, there's a few films where I'm like, rah. Like, there's a sniper one, what's it called? Bradley Cooper.
American Sniper.
American Sniper. Mad. There's Four Brothers. There's the one with Ben Affleck and all the them man. Just whatever. Obviously, there's the one with... oh, my God. How are these not have coming?
Ryan?
Nah. Keep going.
I don't know.
Tobey Maguire, all them man. But, yeah. But, like, I've loved them, yeah. I saw that trailer, yeah. And I was like, rah, this looks freaking sick.
It looks cold.
But then the exact same thought came up now. As, like, a full-grown adult, just, like, it's the same bullshit, bro. It's like...
I can't invest in it.
We just saved it up. Bro, I actually went to a screening a couple of years ago, like, four, five years ago. And it was a... It wasn't an early screening. It was an early...
Multimedia?
No, it was earlier. Like, it was still green screen, bro.
Oh,
like,
oh, test screening.
Yeah.
Oh, test.
Yeah. And it was for a film that was, like, unnamed yet. And then, obviously, like, after, there's, like, a massive quiz and they ask you about it. You've got to fill in the form, blah, blah, blah. That film, yeah, was about the US leaving Afghanistan, right? But when I sat down to watch that only happened 9 weeks prior. These niggas made a movie about it in 9 weeks and test screened it in 9 weeks. I couldn't believe it, bro. Honestly, I sat there like, what the? It's called The Interpreter, right?
Wait, what?
Because it's out now on Prime Video. I think it might even be a different name. It might even be like a whole different name.
The Interpreter I'm seeing is 2005 film.
Yeah. I promise you, I saw it, okay, on Prime Video and was like, raw, that's what I saw, yeah? I honestly was like they just fucking made this. I think it only came out like 2 years ago, so it was like 3 years after. But the fact that they wrote it and shot it in that period is a mad thing to me, bro. It's a mad thing to me. But it just proves your point. It's just like, it's just trying to get it on ASAP.
That's the same thing with American Sniper. If I remember when it came out, like I remember like the talk about it was about like, oh, they're just pushing his PTSD and what they did out there, yeah.
That's not good, man, but, you know.
I guess to close the pod, what I want to do is just ask you, if you was, because I think our audience is growing, if you could give, like, I wouldn't say advice, but if you used to give words of wisdom to people that wanted to follow you in sort of your journey, and if you've had those experiences of people coming speaking to you about, like, you know, how you might have inspired them, has that been a thing? I guess, okay, first question, have you had people coming to ask you for advice, and, you know, what is that like for you as a creator, coming from sort of, not nothing per se, but making your own way?
Yeah, people have asked me, and I just feel like it's an ever-changing landscape. Mm. I don't ever want to be one of those guys that has, like, a panel talk, and I'm like, yeah, man, just try hard. Like, no, I find that so fucking pretentious. I hate that shit. Like, people have asked me, yeah. And I'm just like, all I can say is just be yourself, and you might get some shade here and there from people who don't feel like you should be in the position you're in.
Yeah.
But you just got to keep working. Like, F them. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you just got to keep working. And even if you're trying to get into, whether it be journalism or the film circuit, start small. Like, after the video of my pops, I was like, okay, cool. This moment's going to go away. What do I do now? Mm. Every Friday after Brit, I'd go to Leicester Square in the freezing cold. I believe we shot maybe... I was with some other YouTubers at the time. And we'd be in Leicester Square Friday because we knew people would be going to the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And we did Vox Pops. We did interviews with people.
Yeah.
It was cold. We were asking the dumb stuff that people are still asking now.
Mm-hmm.
The 90-day rule. What do you think about it? Mm-hmm. Who should pay on the first date? How do you kiss? How do you like to be kissed? Just stupid stuff. But we were hustling and... I haven't deleted any of those videos because I want people to see the journey and realize that I'm not an industry plant.
Mm-hmm.
No one just was like, hey, we're going to put you in this space and that space. Like, everything's there.
Mm.
From when I couldn't interview for shit, when I was terrible, when I was absolutely pants. Do you know what I mean? And I was still trying to find my flow. But I feel like you got to, if you can, yeah, why not do a Vox Pop? I mean, everyone's doing it on TikTok anyway. Everyone's doing interviews on the road right now. If you have a local artist that you want to chat to, like a local artist or someone who's on the come up, or even just shooting your shot, like, obviously, not everyone's going to reply, even working alongside as opposed to going for the big dogs immediately. Because I feel like a lot of people sleep on that. You can build something with your friends.
Yeah.
And then, who knows, one of you guys could have a moment and then that's you. And then you lot just keep on working together.
Facts.
So that's the advice I would say to give. Ignore the noise. Don't get lost in the whole clout chasing aspect of it. Because I feel like some people think all virality is good virality. And
yeah.
They think that, oh yeah, because I've gone viral on TikTok for stupidness. Like, there's so many... Oh, it's such a shame because there's so many people that could be on a career path where they're getting into the junket circuit because they're talented on the road, but they love the drama and they don't realise that, dude, you're getting X'd out because you're talking wass and you're doing craziness, not realising that, dude, you're very talented and you can get into it. But, sorry, I'm going on another tangent, but I just feel like collaborate alongside. Don't always try and reach for the top because some of these men do not care. I have time. So if someone reaches out to me or someone sees me on road, I'll stop and chat to them. And if they want to know, like, I don't mind, like, I'll help. I'd rather help someone like myself who wants to get into this than keep going into the journalist circuit or going into junket circuits and everyone else is white and I'm the token black.
Yeah.
So I always just try to give advice. But yeah, work alongside, be yourself. Don't try to emulate anyone else. In the very beginning, I was trying to be like certain people, but they're not around no more. And it's like, if I continue to try and be like them, then what?
Yeah.
And like, you, the only person you can be is yourself. So be yourself, work alongside, hustle in any way possible, man. Even if it means sometimes you're not getting paid for stuff, get in the door and do it that way.
Yeah.
Because that's how I started. Freezing cold, like snot in my nose on a Friday night. Like, and we shot, like I said, like maybe 100 videos. Only like 20 of them went out on YouTube.
Yeah.
Damn.
So it's like, just...
It's all practice hours, isn't it?
Yeah, literally. 10,000 hours, man.
Practice hours, man. Backing it to like when you used to have grime artists going to radio and just practicing and like, clashing. And you know, it's how you get your reps. It's the same way footballers will just kick a ball against the wall for hours. All of that, all of those reps that you put into whatever you do, whatever your craft is, all can potentially, not always, but can lead to something. But you have to put that sort of, you have to put those hours in. So
100%.
Appreciate your words and thank you for your time today, man. It's been a great episode.
No, thank you for having me. I have a gift for you guys.
Oh, yes, we do have this.
Yeah, I have a gift for you guys. So obviously, I know you guys have...
From
watching the pod, I know you guys have some stuff in the background.
Yeah, yeah. So oh, my God.
There's two items in here. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Okay, wait. Is this the right way?
Nah.
Let me turn it around. There's two items in here.
I said a camera as well.
Oh, sorry, bro.
This is a mad thing.
So one of them is from Mickey17. So if you've seen Mickey17, you know
I have.
The little hugger things.
Oh, man.
So I'll give that to you. Guys, do you want it?
Best film of the year so far.
So,
you know, the film's okay.
Have you seen Black Bag?
No. Are you saying that's the one?
Black Bag's good too.
Black Bag's good as well,
jeez.
You know.
Right, look at that, fam. Yeah,
just in case.
Hey, I love them in the film, by the way.
Yeah. That's disgusting. That is disgusting right there.
Just in case you
want to
pop it on,
this is crazy.
Pop it on the wall next time.
That's man. Cold.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you, man.
I don't know if you guys drink.
These men drink, okay?
Oh, Manny's got a problem.
Yeah, give it to Manny.
I got a problem. You were drinking the pod last week.
That is so sick. Thank you, man. We appreciate you. Grab that, my boy. We appreciate you, man. Bro, thank you, man.
Honestly.
This is the first time we had a guest.
Ever give us a thing.
So I just want...
No, thank you, bro.
No, I just want to say again, thank you for like allowing me in your space.
That's so wavy, man.
And just like welcoming me and doing what you guys are doing. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, again, like, it's so refreshing. And again, I don't really like to jump on pods like that too tough. But I've wanted to jump on your pod for time.
I know, man. Thank you, man.
Just like keep doing the amazing stuff you're doing and you, like bringing movies to the man them.
Yes. Just let's go. That's a good one, man. And thank you for being a friend of the show, man. You know what I mean? Friend
appreciate
of the show.
You.
And
no,
we appreciate it.
Applause,
man. What an episode. Let's go, man. Let's go.
We are the Post Credit Scene Podcast, a 14HQ original lovers of film, TV, and theatre. Make sure to check us out on YouTube. We are uploading on a weekly basis. Shout out to Kiz working really hard in the background.
Jeez.
Make sure to check out our previous episode, which possibly would have been a episode with Golda Kessie. And we've also got sort of a roundup of film and TV shows that we've been watching as well. So make sure to check that out. It's going to be really good. Make sure to follow us on the TikTok, Post Credit Scene Podcast, Instagram, Post Credit Scene Podcast as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. And that's us wrapped up. Make sure to drop comments on YouTube. We really appreciate it. Josh.
Shout out to Josh. Always commenting, and we met him quite recently at our live show. Really, really cool guy.
Big up, Josh, man.
Yeah, and don't forget the fact that we got a live show coming up on the 26th of April. Tickets still available. Please click on the link on our Instagram.
Yeah, and I'll put it on the YouTube as well and everything. So yeah, it'll be there.
Yeah, it's us over and out.
Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene podcast.